So Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, Lord Krishna states, Dainusmin yata dehe, kumaram yovanam jara, tata dehantara praptiya dhiras tata namuyati. Which means that from youth, or from childhood to youth, to old age, right, we are progressing in this lifetime, changing bodies one after another. And the wise are not disturbed by such a change. So this is something that's going on in life, that we are experiencing the change of our bodies. We begin with small child body, and gradually, or quite fast, it grows and grows older and all that. So as the years go by, we count them, and we go from one stage into the next. So in life, in spiritual life, we are learning from Krishna through the scriptures. Krishna is teaching us transcendental knowledge through the scriptures. But we are not only learning through the scriptures, we're also learning through life itself. It is life itself through which we learn so much. The school of hard knocks, right? As it's sometimes called. That's where we really learn. It is the scripture that will help us to understand better what's going on. But most of us have to actually learn it through life. That is a fact for most of us. That's where it goes stronger. Still, if only we were intelligent and had faith in the words of Krishna, right, in the words of the scriptures, then we could be saved from so much trouble. And we could also deal with so much trouble which comes on its own. And somehow or other, if we see it in the perspective of the scriptures, it becomes much easier to relate to it. What do you do when, if a dear person, dear to us dies? What do we do? How do you deal with that? Scriptures help us. How do we deal with so many things that are being lost in life? Scriptures help us. So they give us, how do we deal as we grow up, and as we grow from child into adult, and we suddenly get attacked by strong sex desire? How do we deal with it? Scriptures are helping us to deal with it and showing us how to deal with it. But the impulses of life, they come at different stages, right? So, to me, that is a central thing in my life, a central theme, right? In my spiritual life, it always was like that. I could never forget that Krishna is teaching me through life, and that Krishna had been teaching me through life all along, right? It was certainly not so that it started when I walked into the Hare Krishna temple, right? Oh no, it had started long, long before. Krishna was always there, and so many things were going on. At one point, I was looking for something. I had become what I called a seeker for what I've never found, right? I'm nothing but a seeker for what I've never found. Wasn't it, Ro? Yeah, a tough thing, right? Looking for something, you don't know what it is, but you know that when I find it, I'll know what it is. That was really what was going on. And I had faith that I would find it. So I traveled and searched, looked everywhere, and went by the what we now call the neti-neti process. The not this, not this, not this. Neti-neti. In this way, I searched out for true value, true meaning in life. And all along, so many things happened. And I knew that on that journey, I believed that I had a divine protection somehow or other. And I did the most dangerous things, and nothing happened. I slept outside in the Afghanistan desert in a tent. Who would do such a thing, you know? without machine guns and all kinds of things. How would you stay in a tent in Afghanistan? Only a madman. But a madman who was looking for a deeper meaning in life, who was searching and had to do this in the course of the search, somehow or other. It wound up in the Afghani desert. What can I say? I was lost, as you can understand, at that stage. Whatever might be. Eventually, I came to India, and it was wonderful. Yeah. It was, there was the holy Ganges, and I fell in love with the Ganges straight away. Something about the Ganges I couldn't resist. So I would always, as I traveled in India, I always found that I wound up at the Ganges somewhere. When I went to the mountains, suddenly I was near the source of the Ganges, then I decided, okay, let's go there. When I went anywhere, I always bumped into the Ganges again. So somehow or other, that was the idea. And when I lived in the jungle, and in the Himalayas, then we used to daily, then we depended on our water from the Ganges. That was all there was. For cooking, for bathing, for drinking, for everything, it was Ganges water for 1 month. And in that way, somehow or other, the mercy of the Lord reached me, and I was purified from so much contamination. So what we see in life, in our life, is mercy. Everyone gets some mercy in life. There's no doubt about it. Everyone experiences that in life, Krishna is sending something. He gives us little gifts. He gives us something, little things, whatever it may be, or big things. Right? So in my life, Krishna gave so many things. Many, many things. He let me stay in the holy dhams for so long, right? Such a rascal as I am. If you would know what kind of a rascal I was before he allowed me to stay in the holy dhams, then you would say, wow, he didn't deserve it, that guy. And that's true. That's really true. I mean, I didn't do anything to deserve that. I deserved a jail sentence. I deserved to go down to hellish planets. I deserved all kinds of heavy karmic reactions for what I've done. I've done so many degraded things, right, in this lifetime. Yes. But somehow or other, Krishna was kind and overlooked it. Krishna was kind and overlooked and simply gave me mercy. Now, in my case, about two-thirds of a normal, of the average lifespan have passed, right? Two-thirds have passed. That goes quick, right? So, it's something to consider. If I make it to the average age, which, you know, some doubt, then, only 30% left. All right. It moves fast. So, yesterday we were in this student society in Leida, and on the wall there were many macho pictures. You know, one of them was a boy who was naked with a head on, a hat on, in the garden. Standing there like a life version of one of these Greek god fountains or garden statues, right? And it said Klein Marfan under the poster. Anyway, you know, it was what was it? You know, Klein Marfan is something like small and beautiful, you know, small but beautiful. So as this was there, I was thinking, this is the folly of youth, right? The pride of youth, the power of youth, the power of laughing at everything in the world, thinking that I'm on top of things, you know, old man, get out of my way, can't you see I've got it all, you know, I don't need you, I don't need anything, because I've got youth, right? That's a fact. I also had this folly. I had to sleep on cardboard boxes on San Marco Plaza in Venice, right? Just because I didn't need anything. I was just beyond all that. I had the power of youth. Then what do you need? Just sleep outside in some cardboard boxes, right? And I thought it was far out. Now, I don't see it like that anymore. Right? Now I would think. Then it was a cause, you know. Then it was something to do, something breaking barriers. It was a great adventure, sleeping on my cardboard boxes on San Marco Plaza in Venice. Right? Now, you know, I mean, I would think of something better to do on that San Marco Plaza. Right? Nowadays, when I go there to do Harinam with the devotees. And there's nothing like a Harinam in Venice. It's great, you know, it's really fun. So, like that, we are experiencing things so much different now. That's all mercy. So somehow or other, if I look at life in general, not just my life, but everybody's life, then I see so much mercy. It depends what we do with it, but we're all getting the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is kind and gives us so many opportunities. And yes, that's what I'm looking back at these opportunities that I got from Krishna. I'm thinking, Deinusmin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara. I'm thinking from childhood to youth to old age. Right, that's what it says in the verse. So yeah, if I have to see which of the three I belong, then I guess it's going towards the third category. It's like that. So, what to do with that? Now I'm thinking. Now I've become more serious about my time. About not wasting it. I begin to really become more careful with my time and energy and thinking and not just randomly waste it. In youth, we waste our energy like anything, on all kinds of things. As children, my God, how much energy are kids using for total nonsense? Total nonsense. Rubbish. They run around and they do so many nonsensical things. But in our maturity, we become more directed. We are more aimed at what we try to attain. But now my mood is changing and becoming one of not wasting time, of utilizing every moment and more hearing, more chanting, more spiritual activity, more association. So more prayer, praying now to Krishna, praying to the Vaishnavas, realizing that I'm dependent, realizing that I still have not gone so far on the spiritual path, although it went quick. But actually, where am I? Thinking about all that, with the passing of time, I'm realizing I have to do more. If I still want to try and go back to Godhead this lifetime, then now I have to really make more of an endeavor than I've ever made before, because so far I haven't really made much progress. Right? I haven't really come much closer. I don't really feel that I'm an eligible candidate as yet. Then what to do now? So the urgency increasing. The urgency somehow or other is addressing itself to try and make more of it. But also less in a mood of conquering, of acting upon one's own power and the power that, yes, I will do it on my strength, on my determination. Now, more the mood of I'm feeble, I'm weak, I'm not strong, but somehow or other, have mercy, have compassion upon me. Begging for some kindness, begging for kindness of Krishna, begging for kindness of the Vaishnavas. And this is what I do pray for, that somehow or other I may remain close to the Vaishnavas until the end of my days, and that they may be very kind upon me, and that Krishna may also be very kind upon me. Of course, Krishna has already been so kind, and he is always kind, and so have the Vaishnavas. So I'm not one to complain. I just pray that it may go on and on and on. The kindness of the devotees has come to me in different ways. Sometimes that kindness came in the form of smashing me. Right? Sometimes it came in the form of chastisement. Sometimes it came in the form of forcing me to bow down, although I didn't want to. So that's what Krishna also does, right? Now, we are remembering that old Bengali lady with her nose on the ground who was mocked by young man. Oh, what are you doing, Grandma? You lost something. Can't you see, you fools? I've lost the pearl of my youth. Just this consideration is sooner or later becoming relevant. So, we may, at different intervals, at different points in time, speak from our experiences, speak from our perspective, speak from where we stand in life. What can we say? The amount of mercy received is inconceivable. The amount of advantage taken of it is not very impressive, right? If I take the inventory, right? So what to do? What to do? That's why today, on this day, I thought, well, what to do? Then let's invite everyone and let's have a long kirtan at least. That will be good, right? Good for me, good for everyone, good for our consciousness. That will be a purification. So I thought, let us do something for purification. Let us do something of value. Let us not just have a party with paper heads and noses or a party taking all kinds of unwanted substances. Let's not even just have a devotee party where we eat ice cream and pizza offered to Krishna, but let's do more than that. Let us have a transcendental program. That was the idea. So in that spirit, I thought, let us come together, let us chant for Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya, he likes Harinam Sankirtan. That is the best service we can offer him. We can offer him so much service, but that is the best. So therefore, I decided that let us do that. And then, because we are assembled, we have assembled then, right, in the spirit of worshipping Lord Chaitanya. That is what I want to do. I'm walking around now after so many years with a big stick in my hand, a sannyasi, so many attributes, so many people know me, so many people are impressed, and this way, that way. I'm not so impressed. Now, I'm just thinking, well, how can I use it all, everything that has been given to me? How to use all this now? What's the point of it unless we use this little bit of time that we have for the glorification of Krishna? So since we are in the temple of Gaur Nithai, of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, I felt that I wanted to read a little bit from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. For the Nederlands sprekers, het is, ja, het is Engels geworden, wat kun je doen? Dat zijn die dingen. Dat gaat soms zo. Het was een lang betoog, wat ik echt niet meer kan vertalen, maar ik kan wel het hoofdthema eruit halen. En het hoofdthema is min of meer, ja, we leren in het leven op twee manieren. Het ene, door wat Krishna ons kenbaar maakt via de kennis uit de geschriften. En het andere, wat we ervaren, gewoon door het leven van alle dag. En daar gaan we in de jaren doorheen en uiteindelijk leer je dan zoveel. Ja. Dan krijg je hele ervaring. Nou, in mijn geval is in Bhagavad Gita beschrijf het dan Komaram Yovanam Jara. Van kindertijd naar jeugd naar ouderdom. Tja, in mijn geval, kindertijd is voorbij. Jeugd, ik weet niet of er nog wat van over is. Maar als er nog iets van over is, dan is het ook snel weg. Dus ja, dan is het toch het begin van ouderdom. Kortom, het laatste stadium. Tjonge jonge zeg. En wat heb ik al bereikt? Niet veel. Dus we hebben even een inventaris gedaan van wat er bereikt is. Het zag er niet echt indrukwekkend uit. Er was wel veel genade ontvangen van allerlei kanten. Maar weinig mee gedaan. Wat nu te doen? Tja, het kleine beetje resterende tijd dan maar doorbrengen. Met Krishna zoveel mogelijk. En dan nu nog proberen iets van te maken. Vandaar dat we dachten, nou vandaag gewoon van deze gelegenheid gebruik maken om met elkaar extra Hare Krishna te chanten. Nou, dat hebben we dan ook gedaan vanaf 4:00. Flink gechant. En speciaal voor Gaur Nithai. Want dat is de service die ze het meest waarderen. Daarom, omdat vandaag we in de tempel van Gaur Nithai zijn, wilde ik iets doen om Gaur Nithai te vereren. Zodat ik en dat wij allemaal samen onze tijd zo goed mogelijk mogen gebruiken. Nou gaan we even verder in het Engels, dus jullie kunnen weer even slapen. Dan maak ik je wel wakker als het zover is. Nou, we beginnen maar ergens. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. We're reading something from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is a book written about the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And yes, it describes many, many things. One day, handsome, fair-limbed Lord Chaitanya rose and then sat down on the throne of Lord Vishnu. Placing on his lap his Shaligram Shila forms, Lord Chaitanya happily manifested its transcendental glories. He said, I am Krishna, come to the Kali Yuga. I am Narayan, I am Ramachandra, who bridged the ocean. I slept in the milk ocean. Then Nara's loud calls broke my sleep. Nara is a name of Lord Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya called out for Lord Chaitanya. So therefore he is now saying that Nara woke him up, that at that time he was resting as Ksirodaksaya Vishnu in the milk ocean. And then Advaita Acharya called again and again and asked him to appear. I am here to freely distribute pure spiritual love and pure devotional service. Ask, Nara. Ask for a boon. Ask for a boon, Srivas. So how is Lord Chaitanya freely distributing pure spiritual love? We were just talking about that point earlier on, so I'll ask that question to you. Right. Who has pure spiritual love? Right. Anybody? Has it been distributed freely? Did we get it? Maybe we did. Right? Maybe it's already here. Different answers are there. Is it that something is blocking us? Did we get the seed of it, but can we not access it? It's like you have a computer and it's all inside, but you can't get to it for some reason. You need a specialist to kind of get in there. You can't access a whole portion of your hard drive. How to get in? Is that what's happening? Right. Is it that we have the love of God section, but that we can't enter it, or didn't we get it yet? Some feel that we got it in the seed form, and that it will later manifest like that. Some think that we didn't get it, but that Lord Chaitanya is giving us the promise that we will get it if we will be good guys this lifetime. And if we dedicate this lifetime to the service of Krishna, then that at the end of life, Lord Chaitanya will give it us and will send us to the spiritual world, right? With love of God. Right? So some think it comes as a reward on the end. So what is it really? I leave it up to you to figure it out. Right? As you are inspired. I think that the love of Krishna and the love for Krishna is everywhere. Just as it said that this material world is a corner of the spiritual world, which is like a little corner of the sky covered by clouds. And in this way, this little corner of the spiritual world is covered by the Mahatattva, by the material energy. And it looks as if it has become the material world. But actually, it is the spiritual world. Therefore, it is an ocean of love of God here. But we don't see it. So we are there. It's everywhere. But we are blind. Right? And somehow or other, we have to change the eyes so that we see it. But we are not seeing. So we're walking around and say, it's not there. There is no love of God. We're just walking here. We didn't get it. And it's just so hard. And we are struggling. And we are not experiencing anything. And it's just the material world. It's Kali Yuga and all these horrible things. And actually, it's an ocean of love of God. If only we would have the eyes to see it. So this is the solution. Love of God. We are bathing. We are immersed in an ocean of transcendental love. But what is missing is Premanjana. Right? We're missing Premanjana. Right? Not the Premanjana who used to live in The Hague. We're missing him too. But we're missing actually the eyes of Prem. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasa devi hidayesa vilokayanti. We're missing those transcendental eyes, and that is what is required. That would be one answer. Other answers are also there. The answer that it is present in the seed form. We are receiving the bhakti lata beach, and it says the seed of devotional service, which grows into a creeper, and that creeper grows and grows through the entire universe. It grows through all the layers of the universe. And it finally grows into the Brahman. And it grows to the Vaikuntha planets. And it grows past the Vaikuntha planets. And it grows all the way to Golok Vrindavan, where Krishna resides. And it finds the lotus feet of Krishna. And there it touches those lotus feet. And then full love of God will manifest. So it is described also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there may be different explanations that are given simultaneously. But somehow or other, we are receiving the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how we are receiving it, that we have to understand. So it is our business to see, where is it? Where is this love of God? How are we getting it? It is due to our own blindness that we are just, it's right under our nose and we're not seeing it. And we're just lamenting and saying, it's not working, I'm not getting the mercy, while someone who's enlightened can see that mercy is all we're made of. All we're made of. Our whole life is just made of that mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everything. And we're saying, I don't see it, doesn't work. And all that because of blindness. Yes. Seeing that Lord Chaitanya was now openly manifesting his glories, Nityananda held a great parasol over the Lord's head. On the left, Gadadhar had held betel nuts. In the four directions, the devotees waved chamaras. Lord Chaitanya freely distributed pure devotional service. He gave many boons. He gave whatever the devotees desired. So, in this, at this occasion, Lord Chaitanya sat down on the altar. Right? Can you imagine that the Lord just walked in and just sat down on the altar and revealed himself as the Supreme Lord? Yes. Okay. Gaan jullie lekker kleuren. So Lord Chaitanya, in that way, revealed himself as the Supreme Lord and was being worshipped. This is our business. We see that Lord Nityananda is the first to worship the Lord. Although he is also the Lord, he is also worshipping the Lord. And it is because he is worshipping Lord Chaitanya, because he is the first expansion of the Lord, but he is the one who is always worshipping the other Lord, the original Lord, Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, Lord Nityananda has that name, Nityananda, or Nitya Ananda, or eternally blissful, because that is what happens if we serve Lord Chaitanya. We become eternally blissful. So, we have to increase, right? We also have to become Nityananda, right? We have to experience the same thing. And we have to therefore follow Lord Nityananda and do very nice worship of Lord Chaitanya again and again. Yes. And if we do it, it will work. It will work. And then we too will see the Lord on his throne. Actually, we are singing like this. We're singing, Ki bhajayo jaya gaura chande arati kesoba janavi tatavane jagamana loba. We're singing about Lord Chaitanya sitting on the banks of the river Janavi. Basi yachin gaura chande basi yachin basi yachin basi yachin is Pakka Bengali for sitting down, being seated. Basi yachin gaura chandra ratna shimashane. So gaura chandra was seated on a throne bedecked with jewels. Ratna Simasan is a throne bedecked with jewels. And there it describes how Lord Chaitanya is being worshipped in an arati ceremony by Lord Brahma, and how various devotees are taking part in the worship and playing kartals, mridangas, and all these things. They do exactly what we are doing. Right? They're doing what we're doing. So, if we start to read about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, then we see, like, for example, that here is this concept that Lord Chaitanya has come to freely distribute the mercy. So we chant that verse, Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namna Gura Tvishna Maha. That Lord Chaitanya is freely distributing love of God to everyone and anyone. Eh? We're chanting that. Every time we're offering foodstuffs, we are chanting that mantra. And we're also chanting the other mantra, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Which means we're worshipping the cows, the brahmanas, and we're worshipping Govinda. So, in this way, we are chanting these mantras. And these very same mantras, they were chanted by Advaita Acharya. These were the mantras that Advaita Acharya was chanting again and again when he was remembering the glory of Lord Chaitanya. He was chanting these two mantras again and again. So now we, these mantras have become part of our package. These two mantras have become the mantras by which we offer, right, anything to the Lord. So through these mantras, where we recognize the glory of Krishna and the glory of Lord Chaitanya, we actually approach the absolute truth. And in that way, we are directly following the same process, the very same process that is followed by Lord Nityananda, Lord Advaita Acharya, and all these personalities. So what we are doing is so elevated and so high. This movement is so exalted, just inconceivable. Inconceivable. We take it like, well, you know, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's Bhakti Yoga. It's a whole thing, you know, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, tradition and all that. And you have to follow a discipline and it's not easy. And does it fit? You know, is it really me? I am what I am. I feel what I feel and all that. And is it really me? Right? And we just look at it sometimes with a critical eye and think, well, this I think is good, but that I think is not so good, you know. I agree with this point, but that point I don't like, you know. Sometimes these may things may come up in our mind. But then we are missing the point. We're missing the main point. If we think there are points that are good and points that are not good, then we're missing the main point. How elevated this is, what we got. How amazingly elevated it is. That's what we get from reading the Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita. We begin to understand that actually what we are practicing is practiced by the Supreme Lord and his immediate associates, that they're doing the same exalted activities that we could, that we are doing and that we are taught to being done. That is how amazing our movement is. Okay, few words in Dutch. Okay, Willem wordt wakker. We zijn weer terug van weg geweest. Ja, het heeft lang geduurd, maar het is, we zijn aangeland in het lage land. Hier in Nederland is de genade van Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ook aanwezig. Nu ook in Amsterdam. En we lezen in het Chaitanya Bhagavat hoe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu persoonlijk een keer op het altaar ging zitten. En toen begon te spreken dat hij niemand anders was dan Krishna. En hij werd herkend in, door Nityananda Prabhu en Advaita Prabhu die hem vereerden met een parasol. En we zien eigenlijk dat Nityananda en Gadadhar en Advaita Acharya, dat die Chaitanya Mahaprabhu vereerden met precies dezelfde dingen waarmee wij Chaitanya Mahaprabhu vereren. Zij begint nu met het aanbieden van wierook. En dat is precies waar wij ook Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mee vereren. Daarom kunnen we begrijpen, als we het Chaitanya Bhagavat lezen, hoe verheven de gift is die Prabhupada ons gegeven heeft. Hoe fantastisch dat is. En ja, omdat het, goed, het is vandaag toevallig mijn verjaardag. Ach, elke dag is het iemands verjaardag. Verschijningsdag, zoals wij het noemen. Eigenlijk noemen wij het geen verjaardag. We noemen het eigenlijk verschijningsdag. Maar in ieder geval, het is altijd iemands dag. Maar het punt is dat we zien hoe snel alles voorbij gaat. En tegelijkertijd raken we zo door de dingen meegesleurd en vergeten we hoe groot de gift is die we ontvangen hebben van Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, with the passing of time, the passing of years, we forget the glory of the mercy that we got from the Lord. And that is what we are reading here in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And that's very, very nice. So, one time, it is said that Lord Chaitanya freely distributed pure devotional service. He gave many boons. He gave whatever the devotees desired. Someone said, "My father is sinful at heart. Please make his heart good. That will be a great relief to me." Some asked blessings for their teachers, some for their students, some for their children, and some for their wives. They asked whatever they wished. Lord Chaitanya granted whatever was asked. Smiling, he gave everyone the gift of pure love and pure devotion. Right? So here all the people are before the altar. Lord Chaitanya is sitting on the altar, all asking boons, and they're all getting. Lord Chaitanya is giving anything they ask. Then saintly Shiva said, "Lord, to your mother, please give the gift of ecstatic love for Lord Krishna. Everyone wants that you give her that gift." Lord Chaitanya said, "Srivas, I will not give it. To her, I will not give the pastime of ecstatic love for Krishna." Right? So everyone was shocked. "What? You will not give to your mother? Why not to your mother? She's a great devotee." She offended a Vaishnava. Now, the story goes on, and I'm just going to tell it just as I remember it, because it's too long. But basically, the story is that every day, the eldest son of Mother Sachi used to go to the Bhagavatam class of Advaita Acharya. And he would hear there about Lord Krishna, etc., from Srimad Bhagavatam. So, as time went by, at one point, Jagannath Misra and Mother Sachi, the parents of Lord Chaitanya and also the parents of Vishwarup, decided that Lord Chaitanya's elder brother Vishwarup should get married. And they were talking about it and making preparations. After Vishwarup, when he heard it, he just escaped immediately, went away and took sannyas, never to return home. So Mother Sachi blamed Advaita Acharya's Bhagavatam classes for this. See, he has, with his classes, he has spoiled my son. That's what he was thinking. So indirectly, he has caused him to leave home and take sannyas. Yes. So she blamed him like that. So, it is said that, but when Advaita Acharya heard that Mother Sachi had committed an offense against him, he didn't want to hear it. Everyone went to Advaita Acharya and told him that Lord Chaitanya had said that only if Mother Sachi takes the dust of Advaita's feet and places it on her head, then by my order, my mother will attain ecstatic love for Lord Krishna. And hearing these words, Advaita Acharya remembered Lord Vishnu. He said, "Vishnu, Vishnu, you all want to take away my life? Through Sachi's womb, Lord Chaitanya entered this world. She's my mother. I'm her son. It is I who should take the dust of Mother Sachi's feet. I do not understand even a single sesame seed of her power and glory. Mother Sachi is the personification of devotional service to Lord Vishnu. She's the mother of the worlds. How can you talk the way you have done? Even a person who, thinking it an ordinary material world, speaks the word I, mother. The power of that word I is such that the speaker will no longer suffer. Mother Sachi is Goddess Ganga. They are not different. Mother Sachi is Devaki and Yasoda. That is the nature of Mother Sachi." After speaking the truth about Mother Sachi, Advaita entered an ecstatic trance and fell to the ground. He was not in external consciousness. Aware that this was her opportunity, Mother Sachi came and placed the dust of Advaita's feet on her head. Mother Sachi is a great Vaishnavi. She is pure, devotional service personified. She had the power to hold Lord Chaitanya in her womb. When she took the dust from Advaita's feet, Mother Sachi became overwhelmed and fell to the ground. She was no longer in external consciousness. The Vaishnavas called out, Jai, Jai, Jai Hari! They made a great tumult of chanting Lord Chaitanya's name. It's very interesting that Mother Sachi was such an exalted personality. She was the mother of the Supreme Lord. And still, Lord Chaitanya was not going to give her the experience of overwhelming ecstatic love because she had committed that offense. And therefore, only forgiveness of Advaita Acharya would solve that problem. So the story is told how she did it. And simply by glorifying her, Advaita Acharya became so overwhelmed, he crashed to the ground and experienced ecstatic love of God. And then she touched the feet of Advaita Acharya, and then she experienced ecstatic love of God as well and fell to the ground. So both of them had lost external consciousness and were immersed in transcendental ecstatic love of God. Right. So these are wonderful pastimes where the Lord and his immediate associates are experiencing pure devotional service and the symptoms thereof. We are not there, but by hearing about this, we become inspired. And the process for us is to hear about these things again and again. It will give us the strength to say no when we are tempted by the material energy. It will give us the strength to seek the association of devotees, just this hearing of the pastimes of Krishna. It said, if you do not have much taste for this, then first serve the Vaishnavas, because by serving the Vaishnavas, Punya Tirtani Sevyat, comes the taste for hearing transcendental pastimes more and more and more. Back to Dutch. So, very short. Moeder Sachi, de moeder van Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, die werd gezegd dat liefde voor Krishna, extatische liefde voor Krishna, dat kreeg ze niet. Want ze had een overtreding gemaakt tegen Advaita Acharya. Namelijk, haar oudste zoon Vishwaroop ging altijd Bhagavatam-klassen luisteren van Advaita Acharya. En later nam hij sannyas. En moeder Sachi gaf Advaita Acharya de schuld van. Het komt in die klasse van Advaita Acharya, dat die jongen zijn hoofd op hol geslagen is. Ja. Toen zei Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, de enige oplossing voor moeder Sachi is als ze het stof neemt van de voeten van Advaita Acharya. De Vaishnavas vertelde dat aan Advaita Acharya, die was helemaal geschokt. Die zei, moeder Sachi, die is zo verheven, ze is niemand anders dan moeder Ganga zelf. Ze is niemand anders dan Yasoda, dan Devaki. Hoe kan ik mogelijkerwijs haar, hoe kan ik haar mijn voeten aan laten raken? Het is niet mogelijk. En hij raakte zo overweldigd dat hij gewoon in extatische liefde voor Krishna op de grond viel. Op dat moment zag moeder Sachi haar kans en raakte de voeten aan van Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, van Advaita Acharya, nam het stof en toen viel zij ook buiten bewustzijn op de grond, helemaal overweldigd door extase. En zo waren beide lagen daar en alle Vaishnavas die belden niet een dokter en begonnen niet te denken van wat is hier gebeurd voor iets vreselijks. Nee, de Vaishnavas werden ook allemaal extatisch en dansten en riepen de namen uit van Hari, Hari, Hari. Dat is het verhaal van Chaitanya Bhagavat. Ik wil maar zeggen, met dit soort transcendentale beschrijvingen gaan we binnen in een andere realiteit, in een andere wereld. Het is niet onze wereld van alle dag, maar het verheft ons een moment boven het platvloerse alledaags. En dat is waar het om gaat, de hele tijd. Dat is Krishna-bewustzijn. Krishna-bewustzijn is niet een filosofische aanpassing. Krishna-bewustzijn is niet een kwestie van inzicht. Krishna-bewustzijn is het constante beoefenen van de verering van Krishna. En het constante horen en chanten. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Altijd de naam van Krishna chanten. Kirtaniya Sada. Sada, altijd. Altijd. Dat is het. Ja. Dus de constante verering van Krishna. Constant herinneren van Krishna's activiteiten. Steeds maar door. Ja. Ja. En, maar en in het bijzonder het chanten. Ja. Ja. Uiteindelijk zegt het chanten altijd. Ja. Niet alleen maar lezen, maar ook chanten. Want uiteindelijk is het het kirtan, ja, dat een krachtiger middel is om te komen tot Krishna Prem. Ja. Dus ja, dit willen we dan toch een keer meemaken in dit leven. Krishna Prem, niet? Dat is waar ik in feite voor spreek en over spreek. En wat ik, ik zou zeggen, dat is waar het om draait in dit leven. Het leven vliegt voorbij, neem het van me aan. Ja. En, op de een of andere manier moeten we toch nog, voor het voorbij is, proberen Krishna Prem te bereiken. Ja. En de methode is de constante verering, ja, door middel van horen en chanten van Krishna, zijn activiteiten, beschrijvingen van zijn toegewijden enzovoort. En dat is het gewoon. Ja. En dat is waar we zien dat Chaitanya Mahaprabhu en zijn metgezellen mee bezig zijn. Ja. See, so spiritual life means constant engagement in hearing and chanting. It's not spiritual life is not some insight. Spiritual life is not just a mental adjustment, a psychological adjustment. Spiritual life doesn't mean a reorientation. Spiritual life just means constant glorification of the Supreme Lord all the time. That's spiritual life. And if we are sometimes glorifying the Lord, then we are sometimes on the spiritual platform. So somehow or other, let us, by these readings and these kirtans, become inspired to do it again and again, more and more. There is so much. And if we just do that, then we get the purpose of all religion. The purpose of all. So there's no need to jump from one boat into another. That's all material. We're talking about ecstatic love of God, right? So that is our aim, nothing else. We're not sectarian. Okay, any questions? Ik vertaal het ook nog even naar het Engels. Hè? So basically, he's saying that he can't really understand how the mercy of the Lord is available to all kinds of varieties of living entities or beings, such as you have brahmanas, sudras, and many different classes of men, and each seem to have their own level and their own consciousness, and how can it be that one in the lower levels get the same kind of mercy as the one in the higher levels, such as Brahman? That's the point. The mercy of the Lord is impartial, it's described in Bhagavad Gita, and equal to all. It is like rain, which falls on land, on water, and on rock, and the receptivity of the living entity is the issue. So the mercy is widely available to all. De genade van Krishna is beschikbaar voor iedereen. Het, net als regen, dat valt op water, op land, op vruchtbaar land of op rots. Allemaal verschillend resultaat. Het hoogste wat... het hoogste wat we uiteindelijk kunnen bereiken in Krishna bewustzijn is dat we ons bewust worden dat toegewijde dienst aan Krishna is waarom het draait. En dat we het dan beginnen te doen. Ja? En het bijzonder chanten van Hare Krishna. En als we dat doen, dan komt alles voor elkaar. Ja?
Dan maakt het niet meer uit
waar we vandaan komen. Want dan hebben we niks meer te maken met die uiterlijkheden. Dan zijn we aangeland op het niveau van de ziel. Ja? So as soon as we start chanting and as soon as we go deep into our into devotional service, then we don't have anything to do anymore with our background. It will wear off very quickly, very quickly. Although we think it doesn't, it does. Devotional service is much more powerful than we understand. It works very deep and cuts many, many things. So, if we just continue, we may think devotional service doesn't work very much because we don't feel a change. But the reality is that we are blind to see the change. The change is there, the mercy is there. And suddenly, one day, we will see how much we have changed. Therefore, we must diligently continue and work somehow or other in devotional service. Yena tena prakarena mana Krishna disaviat. Somehow or other, fix the mind on Krishna. It is said by Rupa. Do something for Krishna. Right? Don't forget Krishna. Remember Krishna. Do some service for Krishna. Sing Krishna's name. Speak about Krishna. Offer something to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. It doesn't matter. You can just say Krishna, Krishna. You don't even have to say anything else. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, terug naar Nederlands, is er een verhaal waarin een aantal toegewijden samen met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu de Gundicha-tempel schoonmaakten. En ze zeiden allemaal, Krishna, 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 Krishna. En dat was het enige wat ze tegen elkaar zegden. Ja? Ze spraken op die manier tegen elkaar. Alleen nog maar Krishna. If only we just address each other with Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Everything can be perfect. Well, we're just coming to the end of the program. Just in time, Jagatananda. Welcome. So any other question?
Right, that means you're blind.
Means you're blind. It's blind. No, it's you're blind. You're blind. You're blind. You're blind, and that's why you're looking at the desires. You're blind. You're blinded by these desires. Just as when I shine a light, a torch in your eyes, right? Then you cannot see the moon, right? I shine a bright torch in your eyes, and you cannot see the much more powerful moon, although it's just a little, tiny little torch, right? But it blinds your eyes. So now these small little desires, they are acting like a little torch, blinding your eyes, and the effect is that you cannot see the moon. So it's blindness from this. These desires make you blind. They're the cause of the blindness. You see? So let it go, this little torch that blinds your eyes.
I was reading about this, some pieces in a book, and also found it interesting. I question myself how to purify my desires, because my desires are going really everywhere, and it just doesn't make any sense. I would like to get
By somehow or other doing devotional service. By somehow or other staying close to the devotees. By somehow or other chanting the holy name. By somehow or other taking as much prasadam as you can. By somehow or other reading these transcendental books, you know. By somehow or other grabbing every little bit of transcendental straw that you can, you know, and hold on to it, and hang on to it. Just take every opportunity to do something for Krishna. In that way, you'll survive. What's the alternative? See, I know. You know, remember that story where someone said that Prabhupada, spiritual life is so difficult. And Prabhupada replied, yes, spiritual life is very difficult, but material life is impossible. It's impossible. So, you know, there's no alternative. Once you know about Krishna, talking about the eyes and etc., if you look at something, right? You look at an object and you look at it well for some time, then you close your eyes, then you still see the negative of it. You see the reflection of it in front of your eyes, isn't it? Right? You see the form still there. There's some sort of effect, you know, even if you close your eyes, you still see the contours of that object. So in the same way, once your eyes have been focused on Krishna, he's so effulgent, right? Even if you close your eyes, it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. So once the eyes have been opened, Om Agyana Timanandasya Ginandana Salakaya Sakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah, the spiritual master opens your eyes with a torch light of knowledge. And then after that, you may think you can close them again. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Okay, so I thank you very much. And you have a question. Somebody gave me a nice songbook, right, with nice bhajans of Krishna. Somebody else gave me licorice for the throat, you know, so that I can keep on singing. Someone gave me cash, cold cash, you know. Someone gave me socks. Someone gave me a watch. Someone gave me shoes, right? And, well, that's about all I got so far. Right? Not bad, eh? So, you know, something that can be used for Krishna. But actually, you don't really need to give me anything. You can give something to Krishna. Put something in the donation box. And that is very pleasing. Thank you. That would be nice. Because, you know, I'm just Krishna's servant. So, what do I need? I already have everything I need.
Okay.
Yeah, that we hope. Where are we going to serve it? In the temple, that's okay. A last question, then we line up. Yeah.
It is a short question. Soms hebben ze het over positief denken.
Switching back to Dutch, hè?
Ja. Geldt dat ook voor als je zo'n goed, dat je positief...
Ja, in Krishna bewustzijn moet je ook positief denken. You have to see everywhere the mercy of Krishna. And that's positive. You have to see how Krishna is so kind, how Krishna is so wonderful, not how horrible the material world is, and how hellish it is all here in Kali Yuga. You know, als we altijd mediteren op hoe verschrikkelijk de materie is, en wat een ellende, wat een oord van ellende, wat een tranendal, en dat we toch maar liever terug naar Krishna gaan, dan wordt het heel moeilijk. Dus beter dat we ons richten op het positieve. Because it zegt in de Bhagavad Gita, Rasavarjam, Rasopiasya, het gaat om de hogere smaak, Param Dristwani Vartate. Ja? Dus die hogere smaak komt niet van altijd mediteren op het negatieve, maar we moeten mediteren op het positieve. Zo, positief denken is belangrijk. Yes. What? I don't do it side by side with the languages. No. So what? Oh. Yeah, but we even more. I mean, the material world. We laugh at the material world. You know, they say it's such an insignificant thing. The material world. You know, like what does it mean? Like, you know, the Krishna. You know, hey, Krishna. You know, that's what we're concerned with. Kali Yuga, all right, it's going on, it's pretty degraded. Anyway, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is amazing. Right? What pastimes. Like that, you know. Side by side, but one is up there and the other one is insignificant. Yeah. Okay, well, let's get ready to take a little prasadam, and then we'll... I thank you all very much for coming this evening, and spending it here, and hope to still spend many years in the future in your association, either here or eternally in the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.